Welcome to Ending Hunger, Growing Hope with Joel Jacob and Friends. Joel Jacob is the president and founder of The Bottle Crew, and this is his 40th year as a passionate advocate for ending hunger. He invented the spray bottle that you're familiar with from Walmart and Home Depot, among many other tremendous accomplishments, but I'm going to let Joel talk for himself. Joel, tell us why you're here.
Well, I'm here because I think working together, we can make a difference and end hunger in Michigan.
And so how are you going to do that, Joel?
Well, like I said, it's about moving forward and working together. And we want to say, who is it that we want to work together with to get it done? And that is, of course, all our listeners, first of all, and the faith-based community, because it says in our faith that we need to take care of those who are hungry. How often they say that? And our government. All our elected officials working together, local government, federal government, and our business community. And that's the community that I come from. Because working together, not in silos, but working together, we can get this accomplished.
So tell us a little bit about your inspiration. What is it that made you decide this issue is going to be important to me?
Well, it starts out when I was 15 years old, and I was bussing tables at a catering hall in Southfield, Michigan. And I go to the back, and the dishwashers were eating the food off the plates that I was bringing back. And I was really confused because I knew they were employed, and I thought people who were hungry were unemployed. And so that was in my mind. It kind of rearranged my head. I didn't do anything with it for a number of years, but it never left my thoughts. And then another event happened years later where I was a volunteer for a food pantry called Yad Ezra in Oak Park, Michigan. And they asked me if I would volunteer and go and deliver food to elderly people in an apartment. And it turned out that it was the exact same apartment that my late grandmother lived in, Grandma Celia. And I go up to the apartment, I knock on the door, and there was an elderly gentleman who saw the food that I was about to bring, and he said to me, if it wasn't for you bringing food today for me, I'd have nothing to eat. And I held back my tears until the door shut. But it was then I realized that hunger isn't exactly with the people you think it is. I mean, yes, it is, but it's also a lot of other people. And this gentleman wasn't impoverished. He just didn't have access to food. He didn't have family that lived around him. And that's what it was that caused me to say, I'm going to make a difference on this issue. And that was over 40 years ago.
And I know you have done a tremendous number of things to make that difference. And I want to take a minute here to go to another friend in the studio here. It is Max Finberg. He is the CEO of Growing Hope Globally. And because this is really about Joel Jacob and Friends, Max, tell us a little bit about how did you meet Joel, become friends, and, you know, get caught up in this inspiring work?
Thank you, Jerry. I met Joel more than halfway through his journey of ending hunger. So about a little over 20 years ago, he was chairman of the board of a national anti-hunger group that raised money and gave grants all around the country. And ever since then, we've connected in at different times, at different places, literally all over the country and all over the world because of his concern for folks who are hungry. So that's led us to some amazing places, but I'm happy to be counted among the friends of Joel Jacob in his quest to end hunger here in Michigan, here in the United States, and overseas.
So are you comfortable giving us one of those stories, of Joel doing his thing and getting stuff done?
When Joel was chairman of Mazon, a Jewish response to hunger, invited him as a member of the Alliance to End Hunger to the Middle East gathering of Alliances to End Hunger. It was hosted in Amman, Jordan. We were invited by a princess, the sister of the king. And Joel, with some hesitation initially, says, I'm all in. And we had an amazing delegation of a former member of Congress, a businessman as he was, some folks who worked with nonprofit organizations. Joel was all in. So we traveled to the Jordan Valley to visit some of the farmers in one of the most agriculturally rich areas in the history of the world. And there we were with Jordanian farmers, with folks from all over the region and the world talking about ways of ending hunger. Joel was all about it and all in. From there, we traveled a couple other places to make sure that the message that working together, even in an environment like that, would make a difference.
So, Joel, when you hear stories going back 20 years and thinking about all the places you've been in the world and all the influential people you've met, how does that lead you to Northern Michigan today?
Well, actually, it goes back to 1882, because that's when my great-grandfather, Max Jacob, came up here to sell the empty bottles in his horse and wagon to farmers who were in processing business, and that's exactly what we're doing today. And so that was the very beginnings, providing materials, bottles, caps, so people could fill their products and eat and keep nourished.
So when I know as the founder of the Bottle Crew, that bottle business has been important to you, but not just important to you. I know it's been important that you reach people in the community, that you've provided employment to them, that you've provided influence and access to people. Tell us a little bit about your vision for taking all those connections and working with all those people to actually end hunger and grow hope here in Northern Michigan.
Well, first it begins with my philosophy, and I learned that philosophy from my mentor, Henry Dorfman, who was the Holocaust survivor and founder of Thornapple Valley. Henry said to me always, God gave you two hands, one to work, build a business, help create careers for people, and the other to invest back in the community and grow that community. And there's that balance. And so I've always kept Henry's words close to my heart every day. And I have to say, with every good leader, you know, is a spouse. And Henry Dorfman had Mala Dorfman right at his side. And we're fortunate to still have Mala with us. She's 98 years old. And she and her late husband, Henry's memory, inspires me to do that. And I've kept that as my philosophy. And we've accomplished a tremendous amount here in Michigan, as Max said, in our country and around the world. And there's lots of stories that are actually true.
So as you take those inspirational stories and your acumen as a business person and your knowledge about connecting the dots, and I know that's one of your biggest strengths, is learning a tremendous amount about a lot of things in an amazingly short amount of time in my experience too. But to take that and turn that into actionable things that people will see happening, what's your vision? What are people going to see happening if we get this right?
Well, we're focusing today here on Northern Michigan. Northern Michigan, 30 years ago, was a fantastic manufacturing base. There were so many injection molding operations and manufacturing operations, and unfortunately, much of that business has gone overseas to Asia. My vision is to bring it back, and we call that the Lighthouse Project. And we're starting right here in Charlevoix and in Emmett County. There are empty buildings that are waiting for good manufacturing to take place. And we're not waiting. The Bottle Crew is investing heavily into Northern Michigan to bring great jobs here that are going to enable people to get skills, young people, people as young as 7th and 8th graders who I say are ready for opportunity. Many of these young people turn into a path that isn't productive, that ends into incarceration. We want to get to these young people, and we're working with city officials, working with law enforcement, the sheriff's department. Sheriff Chuck Vonder has been fantastic in working with me and the other agencies here in Charlevoix County and Emmett County. So that's what we're doing. We're not waiting for anyone. We're just moving forward, as I like to say, right here, right now.
Creating jobs, giving people opportunity, ending hunger, growing hope in Michigan. Joel, I don't know how anyone could be more excited about any other topic right now. We know this is critical, especially as we're getting through the pandemic and the economy's coming back. People want hope. People want to be productive and get re-engaged. And I think you're the guy, Joel. So we're going to take a little break right here. We're going to come back right next with Ending Hunger, Growing Hope in Michigan. Stay tuned. Back, Ending Hunger, Growing Hope in Michigan with Joel, Jacob, and friends. Thank you for listening. We're creating jobs. We're giving opportunities. We're telling stories. We're talking about what inspires people to do more and be more. You do not want to miss this. I want to go next back to Max Finberg. We introduced him earlier as the CEO of Growing Hope Globally and one of Joel's longtime friends in this mission of Ending Hunger. So, Max, we had one hand to build the business and the other hand to
help the community. And that's where I want to talk a little bit about how I know Joel Jacob. Growing Hope Globally started as Foods Resource Bank with farmers right here in Michigan. We're not up north yet, but I'm excited for some of the wonderful farmers here to get involved in ending hunger. But we have farmers from the Thumb and Pigeon all the way down to Kalamazoo and in the Southwest, like Bert Kiefer and Gary Gensch. And what they've done is shared part of the proceeds of their harvest. Last year, as you know, we were in the midst of the pandemic. I was turning 50 years old, and there was no big party because we couldn't do that. There was no family vacation because we couldn't do that either. So I said, maybe I'll ask a few friends to help me raise money to address hunger and donate to Growing Hope. We'll even call it Max Out for Hunger. I thought I could raise $5,000, and I was going to go to a few friends to put up a match of $5,000, and then I would ask my friends for more. One of the first calls I made was to Joel Jacob. Joel said, well, what could you do with $50,000? And it's because of the generosity of this man who has embodied that maxim to make sure that he's building the business, as he's described, with one hand, and building the community with the other, that we raised over $163,000 last year.
That's amazing.
Exactly. And that's just one example. I have to say that the recognition he has that it can't just be one person, it can't just be one sector, to inspire others to get involved is incredible. One other story. I used to work at the U.S. Department of Agriculture as the director of faith-based and neighborhood partnerships. And we did more than just pray for rain, Jerry. What we did was make sure that we got everybody together. And so Joel was instrumental in helping to create the corporate coalition against hunger. So with the Bottle Crew as one of the leaders and a bunch of others, he and those corporate titans from the private sector met with the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack. And what he said as a former governor of Iowa is, if business CEOs come in to see me and talk about the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, what used to be food stamps, or the Women, Infants, and Children program, I'm going to sit up and listen, because that's not often what they talk about. But in the case of the CEO of the Bottle Crew, it sure is.
You know, I like you're saying we didn't just sit back and pray for rain, right? Although, you know, when we talk about successful people, we often call them rainmakers, don't we? It's a common thing to say. So we know, Joel, you've been a rainmaker, and a lot of people think, well, those guys, they had it easy, right? They've never had to overcome anything. You know, they were given it and they just hand out what they were given. Tell us about why that's not true, Joel. Tell us about a challenge that you had to overcome, even as a rainmaker and one of the best ones we know.
Well, you know, you don't start out as the largest manufacturer of spray bottles in the world. It just doesn't happen just like that. And I go back 40 years ago to when I was, you know, just out of school and had an idea of putting a sprayer on an empty bottle, and we're all familiar with them today. But back then, it wasn't that everyone was thinking about that. And I went to the Kmart Corporation, and people remember Revco drugstores, which is part of CVS today, and Walgreens. But I'll always remember my first appointment at Kmart Corporation. I was 23 years old. Most of the salespeople were in their 50s. And it if people remember the building in Troy across from Somerset Mall, it was this huge million square foot building. And I had to find my way to the right buyer who was only giving me an appointment and is actually the assistant's assistant just to get me, you know, get rid of me. They weren't really interested, but I wouldn't give up. And as a salesperson, when I hear no, that's when the sale begins. I live for no. And so no to me just means not now. If I believe that it's something that someone needs, that it's going to serve a purpose, you know, I will be persistent, but patient, but very persistent. And people know that about me. So I had this product and I thought that it would sell very well in the checkout counter and at the lawn and garden department, this empty spray bottle. And I would keep going back there until finally I got an appointment with a decision maker who said, you know what? You're so persistent. We're just going to give it a try. And just months later, it was in every store and every checkout counter. Now, of course, I had to produce the product. And fortunately for me, I had been working with people with developmental disabilities for years, and I thought this would be a great thing for them to assemble. And that began my journey, working with people who needed a little help, who wanted to work and do a good job. And that began the first real partnership. So taking something that people didn't know they needed and created something that was very popular and was able to help several thousand people have great employment assembling these products throughout the United States.
So if I can summarize that this way, if you've got the idea and you know it's going to work and you're persistent and you care about helping people that need a hand up, you can do an awful lot to accomplish not only good for yourself, but good for the community. And those are the two hands, right? It's you can be successful and then you can spread that success around. And isn't that how we're going to end hunger and grow hope in Michigan? Isn't that the formula? It's that persistence, Joel. And I know that's only one good story of how you've persistently said, there are ways to do this. We can help people. We can end hunger. We can grow hope.
And you know, and it's a great segue into why this works, but it works because it's sustainable, that you have to run a profitable business. The ideas you have can be nice, but they have to make sense. They have to, you know, be economically sound. And so one of the things I love to do is involve my children and young people. I always have interns, but this, specifically the story that I recall is my then 12-year-old daughter, Merrick, okay, who now lives in Northern California. She's a skating coach, and she has her own company, an apparel company for high-performance skaters. But when she was 12 years old, she said, why are companies throwing out food that is still good? And why would the companies have to pay to throw out that food when people need that food? And I said, you know, Merrick, you got a great idea. Let's go down and see how the largest food retailer in the world handles food that is still good, not saleable, but it's still good for people, you know, to have. And we somehow figured out how to get an appointment at the Macon, Georgia Reclamation Center for Walmart. Because of my business relationship, I knew Rollin Ford, who was head of all logistics and distribution. And normally they don't let people in there, but because I was bringing my daughter who wanted to see it, they let us in. And I have this fantastic picture of Merrick standing in front of the distribution center, all proud that she went in, and she saw this conveyor of good things that were going in the dumpster that could be sent to food banks. And I have next to me Leah, who is from a food pantry in Detroit, who was the recipient of some of the first items that we got diverted to the food bank system. And of course, Jerry, you're from Gleaners Food Bank. I said to Leah, the good news is Walmart's going to help out. The bad news is you got to take a full truckload. They're used to taking a pallet. And so Leah says, we have to work with Gleaners Food Bank. They're the ones that can process this stuff. They're fantastic. I didn't know much about them, but in a short period of time, it became a very important relationship. And because of what your organization did that you work with, Gleaners Food Bank, that you head up, you did such a good job that Walmart said, we like this. We are now going to expand it to the entire country. And in just a few short years, they became the largest donor of food to food banks. Not only that, the largest amount of dollars. And it all because, you know, we had an idea. And I have to give credit to the store manager at that time, Patrick Shanks, who was the youngest store manager in Michigan, the first super center that opened up in Howell in the year 2000. He is now a vice president of Walmart, one of the top officers of the company, representing and managing most of the stores in the South. Because of his advocacy and a few other young people at Walmart at the time, we got this done. And Max, you remember me bringing them to Washington.
I sure do, Joel. What was great about that is you didn't pick folks with titles then. You picked those who had shown you their interest, their passion, their commitment. They've gone on because other people recognize those things in them as well. But what was so exciting is at the beginning, Walmart was looking at hunger as just another cause that it might support a little with some foundation dollars or otherwise. But because of the seeds you planted, they have grown and produced fruit 30 and 60 and 100 fold. And I think that it's important, Jerry, to recognize the foundation of the name of your organization, Gleaners Food Bank. The reason Joel does what he does is because of his faith. And we know from the Bible that it says specifically, leave the corners of your field for the widows and the orphans. Well, we don't live in an agricultural society. Here in northern Michigan, we drove past wonderful orchards and cherry trees and cornfields, and it's great. But if you're hungry, you can't just go pick some cherries and not be hungry anymore. So what we have now, as you know better than most, in our industrial agricultural system, is we need people to donate their leftovers so that food isn't wasted. The example Joel gave from Walmart is just incredible. The largest company, the largest food buyer, the largest employer, they're donating food, not just to Gleaners Food Bank, but to the 200 food banks around the country. But they didn't stop there. Again, the seeds that Joel planted have gone on, and now hunger is one of their top priorities for the company as part of their sustainability and corporate social responsibility, as well as the foundation. But I think that for people who are motivated by their faith, whether that's Christian Reform folks in West Michigan, whether that's African Methodist Episcopal folks in Detroit, whether that's Catholics up here, it doesn't matter, because this is common, as Joel says, to all faiths. And for those who turn to the Bible for inspiration, you can find it in Leviticus 19. You can hear the prophet Isaiah in chapter 58 talk about God's chosen fast to loose the bonds of injustice and break the yoke of oppression. You can read it in Matthew 25. For I was hungry and you fed me. That's where this motivation comes for Joel. That's where this motivation comes for so many of you listening. But the question is, what can I do? How can I help with something so big as hunger in northern Michigan, hunger in my state, hunger in the world? And the great thing is there are answers.
And you know what, Max? You're so right on, but it starts with leadership. And if it wasn't for Doug McMillon, who was at that time the president of Sam's Club, who took this and said, I believe it for my faith, but I believe it because I'm a leader in this company. And he became the president and CEO of the largest company in the world. And he has done more to promote this within the company, with his suppliers. He has done more to help hunger than I can think of because of his leadership. We were able to work together, and Doug and I have a wonderful relationship, and he encourages all his suppliers to get involved. And because of that, many of the faith-based leaders are also involved. Our Archbishop in Detroit, Alan Vigneron, you know, he believes that it's important to talk to the leadership of his members who are leading companies, that you have to focus in on this. And we think of our government leaders. You know, many people don't know that President Nixon and President Bush did more to help in this area. We go back to bipartisanship. you know, we can't, we remember George McGovern and the great Bob Dole, you know, and we think of Bob Dole now and hope he returns to good health. The two of them worked together. They disagreed without being disagreeable, but they found that they could work together. That became their legacy. When I had the opportunity to spend time with Bob Dole and I asked him, Senator, what is your legacy? He said, working in a bipartisan way with George McGovern and helping to reshape the food policy. And we got President Nixon to form the White House
Conference on Hunger.
That's right.
That amazing things came out of. One thing, Jerry, is around my dining room table years ago, before his passing, we had the privilege of hosting George McGovern. Joel was there, and we had an amazing conversation about what it meant. So just as you said, Bob Dole was chairman of the Republican National Committee when George McGovern was the Democratic nominee for president. They would go after each other left and right. Okay, mostly right from Bob Dole's side. But what they were able to do is come together on an issue like hunger. And that's where Joel's leadership, working with Democrats and Republicans, working with liberals and conservatives, working across different faith connections, that's where the leadership of this is too important to let our otherwise important disagreements and positions get in the way. When there's one Michigander who's hungry, it's too many. And so that's where I've found great inspiration in his leadership and saying, I need everybody. I need you. I need you. I need you. And he's persistent, as we know, to make sure that no, as he put it, adds a couple letters. Not now.
All right. We have talked about leadership. We have talked about persistence. We have talked about the tremendous success that you've had in this business of involving people and doing tremendous things. And I mean, that Walmart story is an amazing story. Every county in the United States has benefited from Walmart's giving to the anti-hunger work. And you have a neighbor, I promise you have a neighbor who has benefited from that food. People are hungry everywhere. But we're going to end that. We're going to end hunger. We're going to grow hope. Thank you for listening.
And stay tuned for more.